You never find yourself in a place that you don't know what to say. Seems like a pity it all was gone. I realized I couldn't do it on my own. I used to want to understand your plan. Now all I want to see is your hand. My heart is open so wide, even though there's so much pain inside. And if I'm open, I need you to help me, Lord, help me, yes. And I know I will be alright. I need you to help me. Help me, God. When I'm tired of the load on my back, you let me know you're still there. But you're the strength in my weakness. Give away. God, give me faith to see where you're taking me. Though when I'm afraid, I feel it free. Please tell the pain in my prayer. Baby, love you, love me, love me, love me, love me.
Man, help me. Amen. When you don't know who to call on, you can call on King Jesus. He will be right there to help you. Greetings, greetings, each of you by the very means of internet radio. We're coming to you from the beautiful city of Memphis, Tennessee, and the United States. We're here. We're spread out, but we are here fellowshipping one with another on this wonderful day. God bless each of you. God bless your missionary Ken. God bless your sister Ruth. God bless your brother Charles and all the family. God bless each one in their respectable places, one by one, name by name. You're tuned in to the Six Eyes Gospel Show. That's right, the Six Eyes Gospel Show, where you get your praise on without leaving the house. On this program, we're going to have some great music for you, a great word of God coming to you, ministered by yours truly. And then we're going to have some fellowship time where we just break bread and talk with one another. Now, this is the first Sunday of the month, and I've been in the past encouraging you to get you a little grape juice and some saltine crackers or something, Worcester crackers, so we may have communion together. Amen. Amen. So that we may fellowship one with another. One of these days we'll do on the Monday program, we'll go into the understanding of the Passover and what do Holy Communion represent to the believers. But until then, we want to say again, thank you for joining in us on today. You're in for a treat on this day. Got some great music coming.
Hello, I'm Missionary Kenneth Wolfgang.
And I'm Emily Barnum.
And we're blind trucking of Ashtabula, Ohio.
Keep your hands on the wheel.
And your eyes on the road.
And we support this program.
Here on the Six Eyes
Radio Network.
What is the church? Is the church a building? Is the church a pastor? Or the staff? Is the church the music? The tradition? Or the ministries? These are all good things, but they are not the church. Take them away, and the church is still here. Why? Because you are still here. The church is you. The church is you with a purpose. The church is you on a mission. The church is you with a plan. A simple plan to plug into God at a weekend service, to charge up in a small group community, to live out using your gifts and passions, and to pass on your faith to those who do not know Christ. When you and I live like this, all the things we used to do in church become things we do as the church. God desires it. The world needs it. And we are called to be it. What is the church? The church is you.
sons are few. I'm trying to pray, but where are you? I'm all churched out, hurt and abused. I can't pray. What's left to do?
Come on.
Truth is I'm weak, no strength to fight, no tears to cry. Even if I try, but still my soul refuses to die. One touch will change my life. Take me to the King. I don't have much to bring. My heart's torn in pieces. It's my offering. Lay me at the throne. Leave me there alone to gaze upon your glory and sing to you this song. Please take me to the King. Truth is, it's time to stop playing these games. We need a word for the people.
And my God, come through.
The favor of God stops your being manipulated by the circumstances. People say, well, under the circumstances, so-and-so. Well, what are you doing under the circumstances? With the favor of God, you're supposed to be on top of the circumstances. Stop being manipulated by circumstances. Stop worrying about the unknown. Some of you are young and you're worried about the unknown. Stop it. If you have favor with God, it will be well with you. It will be well with your children. It will be well with all you put your hands to, because the favor of God is already in the future, working out the future. Things you don't even know are about to happen. God has already straightened them out in your behalf, because you and you and you are favored of God.
Amen, amen. You are favored of God. That's your word of encouragement this wonderful day, this wonderful fifth day of September. We're in a brand new month. Amen. Most of the year is already gone past. Wow. Amen. We got so many things going on in our world today. They got the new variant dealing with the COVID-19 and here in the States, we have certain cities and different areas that have flooded out because of the storm. And so We're praying for those families that are misplaced, that they're going through some things now. We're praying for you. Our prayers are with you and your family in this time. There's nothing worse than having to deal with a storm than to lose your possession and then have to rebuild all over again. Because sometimes in the midst of the storm, we lose possessions. And it's not so much how much the things that we lost cost. Some things have sentimental value. And when you lose things that have sentimental value, that's a part of you that you can never get back. I used to draw when I was in school, and junior high school and high school, and I had a lot of my drawings together. When I stayed in Florida, my laundry room was outside the house under the carport. The carport had a separate area where I used that area for not only the laundry room, but storage space as well. And one day the hose popped, and I wasn't aware that the water hose had popped. And water had gotten everywhere, just everywhere. And I kept hearing running water, but wasn't really aware where it was coming from. And just so one day I decided, let me find out where this water coming from. And sure enough, it was in that outer part of the house, and that water had been running, and everything had gotten wet and mildewed, and lost a lot of my precious artwork, my drawings. And I just felt something that was down on the inside. You know, I wasn't selling those over just memory. And it touched something on the inside that you can't put your hand on. You know, you couldn't pat me or hug me to smooth that over. It was just a piece of my life had been taken from me. And it was something that it took me just a little bit to get over, that I had lost all those memories. And even when everything dried up, it all stood together, you know, colors running and all that, and it just messed up everything. And we was only able to salvage a few little things. And so those that are going through the storm now, dealing with that, our prayers are for you, because we can't measure your pain, your suffering, and your loss. You may have lost something that was given to you by a great aunt or a great grandmama, and those things are irreplaceable. So our prayers are for you in this day and time. And speaking of prayer, we're going to ask Missionary Ken to kick us off with a word of prayer. We're going ask Missionary Rufus, she's on the line, to come and give us a scripture reading today. And before they do that, we want our founder of the station to say hello and to greet us. And that's none other than Six Eyes himself, Mr. Charles Stanford. My brother, are you here with us? Brother Charles, your mic is unmuted. God bless you. Well, Missionary Ken, come on and pray us in and get us started. And Sister Ruth, bring us our scripture reading, and we'll go to our next soundtrack.
Right, and then maybe he can get himself unmuted while we're doing that. All right. Lord Jesus, we want to thank you for another day. In you, we have another way, Lord Jesus. And we want to thank you, Lord Jesus, for the 56 countries that have joined us, Lord Jesus, as we go on for another show, Lord Jesus. We give it to you, Lord Jesus. We turn the wheel over to you, Lord Jesus, so that soul who is nearest hell can reel up the white flag and surrender, saying, I yield, knowing that your word said, Lord Jesus, if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and believe in thine heart that God has raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. So let this day be their day, Lord Jesus. Let them get in contact with us so we can rejoice with them in their newfound joy, Lord Jesus. And then for the team of the Six Eyes Radio Network, we ask a special blessing. Do pray, Lord Jesus, so they can keep on keeping on for you, whether mental, spiritual, physical, or financial, Lord Jesus. And then for your children, we ask the same blessing and do pray, Lord Jesus, so they can keep on keeping on for you. And then, Lord Jesus, with these storms going on and these hurricanes, Lord Jesus, as Pastor Bonnet has made allusion to, Lord Jesus, there are many who've lost lives as well as lost possessions, Lord Jesus. So we pray for them, Lord Jesus, today, and we ask you to touch each and every life and every situation, Lord Jesus, as you see fit, Lord Jesus. And then, Lord Jesus, for those dealing with COVID-19, we ask you to touch them in a special way, Lord Jesus. First off, the family and friends who've lost somebody due to COVID-19, we ask you to touch them in a special way and give them special comfort, Lord Jesus, as only you can. And then for those who are going through COVID-19 right now, Lord Jesus, we ask you to bring them through with victory, Lord Jesus. Heal them, raise them up out of the bed of affliction as only you can, Lord Jesus. And then, Lord Jesus, with situations like George Floyd and all these other things that we read in the newspaper, see on the television, hear on the radio set, Lord Jesus, we know that you've got mail, Lord Jesus. We need to learn to love our neighbor as ourselves. In so doing, we'd be loving the omnipresent neighbor who is you now, Lord Jesus. We give this program once again to you for your honor and your glory, and we ask all of it in your mighty and precious name. Amen and amen.
Okay, we have Psalm 24, verses 1 through 10. Excuse me, I'm a little choked up today. The earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof, the world and they that dwell therein. For he hath founded it upon the sea and established it upon the floods. Who shall ascend into the hill of the Lord, or who shall stand in his holy place? He that hath clean hands and a pure heart, who hath not lifted up his soul unto vanity, nor sworn deceitfully. He shall receive the blessing from the Lord and righteousness from the God of his salvation. This is the generation of them that seek him, that seek thy face, O Jacob, Selah. Lift up your heads, O ye gates, and be ye lift up, ye everlasting doors, and the King of glory shall come in. Who is this King of glory? The Lord strong and mighty, the Lord mighty in battle. Lift up your heads, O ye gates, even lift them up, ye everlasting doors, and the King of glory shall come in. Who is this King of glory? The Lord of hosts. He is the King of glory. Selah.
Amen. Amen.
Hey, baby. I will be there shortly. Hope you are dressed. Hope the food is ready. Can't wait. Love ya. Really? Was it worth it? Now he'll never make dinner, never again, and several people won't make it home. Texting. It can wait. No texting while driving. Brought to you by Six Eyes Radio.
All right. And now I think we have him, and that's none other than Mr. Six Eyes himself. We're going to make room for him to greet us, and that is Mr. Charles Stanford. How you doing this afternoon?
Hello, Pastor. I am great. Good afternoon to everybody. Welcome to the Six Eyes Radio Gospel Show here on the Six Eyes Radio Network. We're so glad you joined us. So we want to thank our surrounding city and states, our faraway countries. We have our very own Pastor Kenneth Vonnet from the beautiful city of Tennessee. We want to thank him. We have the Wolfgangs, Ruthie and Ken. Thank you. We have our guests that's on the line, and we have our surrounding countries. So thank you.
Amen. Amen.
Yes, everybody have a beautiful tomorrow.
Go ahead. I'm sorry. I thought you were done.
Yeah. Not a problem. So Labor Day is tomorrow, so everybody has a day off. So I'm complete. Thank you. I'm drinking my coffee.
So that's right. That's right. Tomorrow is Labor Day. So those of you that will be listening to Motivational Monday, it may be a repeat. But all of them are good, so you will enjoy them just the same. Brother Six Eyes, those would love to sow a seed into this wonderful station, how may they do that? What kind of platform do they need to have access to in order just to be a contributor to this wonderful programming that happens on the Six Eyes Radio Network 7 days a week?
Well, thank you, Pastor. I'll be glad to answer that question. So you have two options. For those who utilize the PayPal platform, the email address you would enter is SIXEYES, digit number 6, at gmail.com. Once again, that is SIXEYES, the digit number 6, at gmail.com. And if you utilize the Cash App, that would be $SIXEYES, the digit number 2, the digit number 4. And whatever God puts on your heart to help us keep bringing you great programming would be greatly appreciated. We will be turning 10 years old on September 14th. So if anybody wants to sow a seed for that to help us keep bringing you great programming, I mean, 10 years, I think that's well worth it. Consider that and those same two form of options, the Cash App and PayPal. So we thank you in advance.
Hey, amen, amen. So there's two wonderful birthdays going on this month, the birth of this station and mine truly. But to all the listeners that know me and you want to sow a seed into the pastor's life, you can do it through the same platform. I'll just indicate on there, Pastor Bonnet. Amen. Because I celebrate my birthday since I got over 50. I understood that I had the right to celebrate all month long. So each year now, you know, I've been enjoying these birthdays all month long. It used to be a week long, you know. You were growing up, you know, you're looking for that day to come, and you walking around with your chest stuck out saying, "This my day, this my day." And then you got a little older, and you start to wear. This is my week. This is my week. Well, I'm saying now, this is my month. This is my month.
There you go. There you go.
So
you have
to pick my
birthday.
All right. All right. Yeah, we share together then. All right. I don't mind sharing. Amen. We're going to have some wonderful time this year. This is the month of September. The weather will be getting ready to change for many people. So we're coming out of the hot summer month by the end of the month. And I know some people are probably glad of that, that don't deal with the heat that well. Some people are looking forward to it. And whichever the case, we pray that the Spirit of the Lord is with you as you go from day to day. Amen. We're blessed to be on this radio station. We thank God for the platform of Blog Talk to reach out to you, and we are thankful for the vision that God gave Mr. Six Eyes himself for this program. So we want to, again, address everyone, say hello to you wherever you may be. We're not going to call no names, because if we're going to call a name, we're bound to forget somebody's name, and that's when trouble starts sometimes. People say, "You didn't call my name." And they don't know how to chart it to your head and not your heart. When you don't do a lot of public speaking sometimes, you don't really realize the pressure of what it is when you're speaking to the public. Sometimes there's so much in your mind and so much you want to say, unless you're reading it verbatim, unless you got a teleprompter somewhere and you're reading it. You are bound to forget something. And so we don't want to call names. Just say me.
He's talking about me. We want to say to you from this wonderful station, we love you with the love of Christ. We're praying God's Spirit to remain with you, to keep you safe from unseen hurt, harm, and danger. We are glad that not only did your name make the woke list early this morning, but your name has made the afternoon list because you're here with us even now. So we're glad to have you with us right here, right now. We want to encourage you to learn to just have patience on God. A lot of us are in a hurry to make things happen. We think that we're not going to be able to have time to enjoy what it is that we were seeking after. I want to remind you, and this is not my message for the day, but this is just something in my heart to encourage you. And that is Abraham. We know him. We call him Father Abraham. All of us Sunday school goers and children church members, we grew up knowing Father Abraham had many sons, and many sons had Father Abraham.
Great,
so we grew up knowing Father Abraham. And so we knew that song, and so we're thankful. So I want to encourage you that this man, Father Abraham, was 75 years old. Yeah, that's 7 and 5 together. Not 7 plus 5, but 7 and 5. 75 years old when God told him to leave his countrymen, to leave his family, and go to a place that he had never been before. And at age 75, he didn't argue with God that he was an old man, but he was encouraged to do what God told him to do. To make a long story short, I want you to know it took many years for those promises that God promised him to really come to pass. But I want you to know also that Abraham, many people don't know, he lived an additional 100 years, all because he obeyed God. All because he obeyed God, even in his old age. I know there's a worldly saying that you can't teach an old dog new tricks. Yes, you can, if he's obedient. Amen. And old Abraham was obedient. We want to encourage you today to trust God, to wait on God. Why? Because they that waited upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not faint. They shall run and walk and not be weary. And so no matter what you're going through, understand God is giving you strength to keep on keeping on. You don't have to worry about fainting. You don't have to worry about giving up, being weary. You don't have to worry about what comes and what goes. Whatever God has for you, here's the short of it. He's already placed it on the inside because you are his precious seed that he planted for a time like this. And so some of us, we haven't bloomed yet. Some of us are late bloomers. So you may have not bloomed yet. You may not have fulfilled your God-given purpose just yet. But I want you to be encouraged to know that weeping may endure for a night, but joy cometh in the morning. Be encouraged. Don't give up. Don't throw in the towel. Just wait on the Lord.
There's something about waiting we don't like. We naturally become impatient because we're living in a world where not only do we want it now, we can have it now.
But that's not the way it is with God. Do you value God's choice enough to wait?
And Pastor Bonnet. Pastor Bonnet.
Yeah.
Just letting you know, today's joke of the day is going to actually come by a group called the Frantics, okay? And it's called Boot to the Head, and so I think everybody will enjoy that when we get to that. So that's something for us to wait on and be ready for when we get into our fellowship time.
You don't know what I've been through. Let me share my story with you. All the things that he brought me through. Stormy days and my rainy days. You better know all the tears I've cried, things I've kept bottled up inside, trying my best to be strong, waiting on God to be just wrong. You don't know what I have to endure, and you wonder why I'm so sure. Cause my fire never lets me down. He's always there, even when I can't see. You don't know how many times I prayed, all over and over, but my situation didn't change.
I'm doing all the things you From deployment to separation, Eagle Island USAA is a trusted guide and special discount in the Let us help to make this world. Thank you.
Happened to us that it seems like it's coming against us to hinder us and to stop us from our destiny. Now, every month we give a new monthly emphasis, and I would go into this monthly emphasis. I'll give you a preview of it. This monthly emphasis is what's influencing me. Amen. What's influencing me? There's a million things that are going on in the world, and we want to ask the question, what's influencing me? You know, you're sitting down with the family, and y'all watching television, and a Toys for Us commercial, you come on, and they begin to show toys that's for kids, and they begin to advertise in such a way that it makes it seem like the kids are in another world playing their toys, whatever the toy is, whatever the game is. They're in another place. And it's so appealing to the children, says, oh, mama, oh, daddy, I got to have that. And it's because their eyes have seen something, their ears have heard something, and what they have seen and what they have heard bear an influence, a level of committed them or caused them to desire that which they did not have. And a lot of times in this world, we're living in this world, and we are not aware of the things that are influencing our decisions. Why did you marry the person that you married? Why did you have the job that you have? Why are you associating with the people that you do associate with? There's some things that causes influence in our lives, and we need to be aware. But last month, emphasis, the month of August, we was dealing with that there's potential right where you are. There's potential right where you are. And because there's potential right where you are, we don't want you to be discouraged by the things that are going on. Just because something has gone negative don't mean you can't make it. The inventor of the light bulb, he was able to invent that light bulb, but he didn't get it right the first time, the second time, the third time, the fourth time, the 100th time, the 200th time, the 300th time. He didn't get it right, and his motivation was all that he learned was ways not to do it until he learned the way to do it. And we got to learn how to turn our failures into lessons. And we have to learn how to learn from our environment and our experiences. And so I want to just do a little backtrack before we deal with the topic. I was going back and forth in my mind as to go ahead and jump into the new topic. And had we jumped into the new topic, we would have went to the Book of Psalms and would have read that, blessed the man, But I want to go back and finish up. I feel there's one more example to give us, to encourage us to bloom where we're planted, to grow wherever God has us, shared a while back that the potential is already in the seed. Whatever you are designed to be, God put it in you before you enter time. See, God says, his word says that he is the God that tells the end before the beginning begin. That means God knows your future because he don't stand in the future. He stands in eternity. And in eternity, all this that we're going through is already done. That's why you can't surprise God with your prayer. That's why when you go to talking to God, you're not informing him of something he don't know. He's already know. He just wants you to be aware of your surroundings. And as you are aware, as we are aware of our surroundings, what we really do is invite God to enter into time, because he's eternal. We invite him to enter into time, to come into our situation, and to give aid wherever it is he is needed. Amen, somebody. That's a whole other message. So let me get back on page. Amen. In the Bible, those of you that have your Bible, I hope you have your Bible. This is church service. I know you're home. I know you may be in your car. I know you may be just relaxing. But I want you to pull out your Bible. Pull out your B-I-B-L-E. Your basic instruction before leaving earth. Now, the thing that you must grab hold of right now so that you are ready to enter into eternity. There's some things that we have to accomplish here. The Bible says, it's appointed to man to die once, and after death, then the judgment. So it's appointed to us to die once, somebody. And after death, the judgment. That means everything that we're going to do that's going to matter to God, amen, we must do it in this life, amen. We must accomplish it with this life. The Bible talks about a good seed and a bad seed. And it talks about how good seed don't produce bad seeds. A good seed produces good seed. But a bad seed, it doesn't produce good seed. It produces more bad seeds. And so oftentimes, we have to check, what are we producing? We talked about, in the past here, we talked about that if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away, behold, all things become new. So you may have been a bad seed before, but in Christ we are reborn into a new seed. So what kind of new seed are you? Now, let me take one more step back, because we have to go back before Christ, when it was just a relationship with the Creator. There was a young man in the Bible that was the 11th son out of 12 sons to one Jacob. Jacob was the third son, or the third from Abraham, the father of us all. The promises that are blessing the world today are the promises that God made to Father Abraham. And so even those blessings to those that do not walk the same walk of faith. Those blessings are released simply because Abraham believed God. So you can believe God to the point that your seed is blessed. But you can disobey God to the point that that generational curse goes down to your seed. And so it's very important for us as believers that we are reproducing the right seed. Now, what is the right seed? The right seed is having the right conduct no matter where you are planted. So those of you that have ever farmed or ever did any type of agricultural work or gardening work, those of you that went to the garden shop or the nursery and you bought a plant. Mostly times, if you buy a small plant, they tell you that this plant is going to grow and it's going to need to be repotted into something bigger, that it is designed to grow bigger. And so if you keep it in the same pot, it's going to restrict the potential of its growth, but nevertheless, it's going to grow. So whenever we are interacting with a seed or plant, we are always looking for growth. Now, this young man, I have to cut through the story just a little bit for the sake of time. We find his story in Genesis. In Genesis chapter 39, we see the story of Joseph, okay? And as we see his story, we see that he went through some things. Genesis chapter 39. Chapter 37, his brothers had saw him coming afar off, and they hated him because of a dream. I want you to know that haters just didn't come around in the 20th century. There have been haters since the beginning of time. And I know that you may be disappointed with some of your family members that won't support your vision. You're not the only one. So I dedicate this message to everyone today that has family that has hated on them. I'm going to say it again. I dedicate this message today to all who have family that have, so you expect your enemies to hate you. You expect folks that don't know you, didn't grow up with you, that in competition against you. You expect a certain level of hate from them. But what you do not expect is your family hating on you. I wish I had a witness. Amen. And so because you don't expect your family to hate on you, it is a dagger in the heart when they betray you. It is a dagger in the heart when they mislead you and purposely deceive you and cause you to fail. And it's even worse when their action is one that will either destroy your life by ending it or destroy your life by condemning it. And so here it is, Joseph, the 11th son out of 12 sons of Jacob. Him being an obedient son, Jacob had two wives. We're not going to get into the process. That was then. This is now. We don't do that no more. But Joseph had 12 children, 12 boys that had potential in them, but each of them showed a level of deceit, dishonesty, in their disobedience to the way that their father was raising them. I know that some children are mischievous, but these children went over and beyond. So as we get into chapter 39, we see that these young men had already thrown their brother in a dark pit, pulled him out of the pit, sold him for Midianite traders to the Israelites, and as he was sold to them, as they traveled down to Egypt, and they sold him into Potiphar's house. So here it is, a prince, a man that was born free, a man that was born with promise, a man that was born with love. We know Joseph was loved because not only was he loved, but one of the reasons why his brethren hated him was simply because of the favor that he received from his daddy. His father gave him so much favor that the brothers envied him for it. And at the death of Joseph's mother, he was only two sons from Rachel's womb. And after his brother was born, the mother dies in childbirth. And so the father, in trying to console and show that he's not going to abandon his son because of the loss of his mother, he gives him a coat of many colors. And this coat is a badge of honor. Because when you deal with this day and time, that it wasn't like going down to your local store and you could buy something tie-dye and, with all types of different colors and material. This was a rare thing. And his coat was a coat of many colors. And so you can see him coming afar off because he was the only bright one in the country. Amen. And his brothers, him being sent by his father to bring back a report on what the brothers was doing. And they saw him coming, and they remembered him sharing his dream. And they see him coming because he's in his coat. And they see him coming, and they say to themselves, here comes that dreamer. Everybody smiling in your face don't like you. Everybody that's grinning at you while you're standing there, they ain't in favor of you. He didn't know that his very own blood was against him and thought to even kill him just to prevent the dream that God gave him. You don't know the measures that people would take just to see you not excelling past them. Because again, he was the 11th son out of 12. And his dream put him over them and their father. And so they are envious because he said, I'm going to be somebody great. People will envy you for going after better. And so we see in the first two verses, the first six verses there, we see this relationship of Joseph and Pharaoh's house. And the Bible says that, in verse 2 says, and the Lord was with Joseph. He was a prosperous man, and he was in the house of his master, the Egyptian. And his master saw that the Lord was with him. When you go over somebody's job, talking to my workers out the other day, when you go and punch somebody's clock, number one, if you're scheduled to be there at 8 o'clock, are you getting there at 8:05 and expect the same benefits? Or are you showing up early so that when 8 o'clock comes, you're ready to do the job that's asked of you? Mm-hmm. And the Bible says that not only did Joseph perform while he was a servant, not only was Joseph working hard, mind you, Joseph is a Hebrew. He is from the Israelite tribe. His father was given that name Israel, Israelites. And so here it is, he's sold into a country where at age 17, he had to learn a new language. This is dedication for excellence. Not only did he learn the language, but he was able to work in a fashion that although he was a slave, the master of the house put him in charge of the house because he recognized that everything the young man was doing was good. And everything that he was working on was prospering. Ask yourself this question. Is my work effort, is my work effort causing prosperity to the business I'm at? Or am I causing some people to go away giving bad reviews? Am I causing some people to go away because of bad attitudes? One of the worst things you can do is when you're hungry and you're out busy and you go through the drive-thru and you get a teller that act like somebody made them go to work at gunpoint. Ooh-wee. One of the worst feelings you can have is, is that all? I said, just give me a moment. excuse me, are you all right? I'm just saying, is that all? And I said, give me a moment. And the feeling of that, if you wasn't so hungry, you really want to say, I tell you what, keep y'all food. I go somewhere else. Now, I have done that in dine-ins. If I'm ever at a dine-in and the waitress has a bad attitude and she's serving or he's serving, toss anything. At that moment, if they done brought me out my drinks, the money for the drink is on the table, we gone. If they just bought some water, we gone. We ain't gonna stay and have no other conversation. We're not coming back. Why? Because if you don't value what I bring, then you don't need what I have. And a lot of us, we want people to recognize us and respect us, but we don't value what was brought. So since we didn't value it, we can't benefit from it. That's why it's so important to honor leadership. The Bible talks about when Christ was in his hometown, that he could only do a few works because instead of them recognizing him, Jesus the Christ, they kept recognizing him as Jesus the Comforter. And they kept missing out on blessings after blessings. But my point I'm going back to in Genesis chapter 39, as we see Joseph. Joseph was spared from the pit. We thought that was good because at least his brothers didn't kill him. It's hard, but it was also good. When the Bible says all things give thanks, it was hard to say thank you, God, that they threw me in a pit. But the real thank you is they wanted to kill me, Lord. So, Lord, thank you that they did not take my life. See, we're so busy complaining about what people did that we forget to praise God for what they wasn't able to do. Amen, somebody. Sometimes we mad at somebody that cut us off while we're driving. But what we need to be saying, God, I thank you that they didn't crash into me. Amen, somebody. When we begin to change our attitude, because we understand that our attitude promotes our altitude, how I go up in the world is determined about what I do right now, not later. Some people have gardens that in their front yard, because the front yard is facing the street, they want to have all the best plants and the right colors and the right array. They want them in the front because that's what everybody's going to be able to admire. And if they're working with some other plants that they're trying to get to grow, they'll have them in the back, on the back porch or on the side in the patio if they take time to get them to mature. Sometimes the reason why you and I haven't been brought before everyone else is because God's given us opportunity to mature. He's given us time to grow. Uh-huh. He's given us that time, but when we don't realize that our delay don't mean denial, then we'll stop giving up. Joseph didn't cry, "Oh, my dream ain't gonna never come to pass now. I'll be a slave. I'm just a little slave boy now." No. We don't read that in the scripture. What we read is Joseph performed so well that it brought prosperity to his slave master. It brought prosperity to his captive. It brought prosperity to the one that was over him. A lot of times we're working jobs and where sometimes the company may not be doing all the things that we feel that they should be doing for us as a company. And it's so easy to get to jump on the bandwagon with those that are saying, "Man, they don't care nothing about us. Man, they just want to, it's a business." And yes, they want your hard work. It's a business. Yes, they want you to labor hard. It's a business. Because if it was your business, you don't want people stealing from you. If it was your business, you don't want people stealing time. Uh-huh. You don't want people clocking in and going sitting down somewhere taking a nap for the next 2 hours. No. But what you want them to do and what you need them to do is to help your business grow. And what we saw in Joseph is that even though he was in a hard place, the business grew. It grew so well that the master's wife couldn't keep her eyes off of him. But because he honored God and he honored his master, he told her when she propositioned him, "I can't do such a thing. He hasn't kept nothing from me but you because you belong to him. So I can't violate his trust, and I can't violate God's trust in me." See, a lot of times when we go to work, we forget that we ain't just working for them, but we're working for the Lord. Why? Because the earth is the Lord and the fullness thereof. Didn't Sister Ruth read that earlier? The earth is one of my favorites. The earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof and all they that dwell therein. I belong to the Lord. You do too. Whether we save or not save, whether we believe in Christ or not believe, we still are the byproduct of his handiwork. None of us would be here had he not made Eve for Adam. Y'all ain't talk to me. That's all right. I'm going to keep on going. And anyway, so we see that then we go down to about verse 20. And we see between verse 20 and 23, we see that Joseph is now in the dungeon. He goes into a dungeon. He's thrown into another hard place. It was bad enough that he was sold into slavery. But this woman who wanted to be with him, and he wouldn't, lies and says he tried. A lot of times when we read this story and he get thrown into jail, we say, oh, that was unfair. Now, what was unfair was the lie. What we don't realize is prison for him at this time is a blessing. Because he was a foreigner and a slave, that action alone should have caused him to be put to death. The action alone was enough for them to castrate him, if it was true. So when we read the text where it says that Potiphar was angry, I really think Potiphar knew his wife. And his anger was she tried him, and now she doesn't. Because what she did was she called all the men and said, he done brought this slave in him, this Hebrew, to defile me. So she put him on the spot. She tried to shame him to do something, but God made a way out. Many of our loved ones might be in prison today. I don't want you to think of their prison as a sentencing of judgment to punish them. But some of us that went to prison, prison was really your way out. Prison is what saved your life. Amen, somebody. Somebody went to jail and it was their time out. You had time out from the gang. You had time out from the drugs and alcohol. You had time out to think about the abuse that you were doing to others. You had time out to get your mind right. And we see Joseph, again, his character sprung forth. That he was so excellent in work. Because again, we're talking then, not now. If you was a slave, you had to work. But slaves at this time, they got paid. If you was in prison, you had to do certain work. Didn't you want to eat? So prison reform had a whole different meaning back then. And had a whole different purpose. Some people was put in prison until they was able to pay the debt off. Now if you're in prison, how are you going to pay the debt off unless you can work? Read the Bible. I must keep on going. Joseph is in the prison, and the captain of the guard put Joseph in charge of the prison. Now, this prison was a dungeon. When you see this prison, it's two words that speaks of this prison, because one part of the word means roundhouse, and the other part of the word means absolute light or void. So we know it was a dungeon, because later on, as you read the scripture, it does come back and say that when Pharaoh calls him. And we see that Joseph is in this prison. And God allowed a situation to happen that caused two men to go into the prison. And Joseph, because he kept the prison, was in charge to keep them. They was from Pharaoh's court, so they was people to be renowned. And so Joseph kept them well, but God caused a dream to take place in the two men, where God's judgment went out to these two men to tell them what was going to happen next. And so to the cupbearer, God said, I'm going to restore you. And to the baker, God says, that's it. And so Joseph interprets these dreams. And when he tells the cupbearer his dream, he said, all I'm asking you is when Pharaoh brings you out, speak well of me to him, that he may bring me out of this place, because I'm here wrongfully. I've been wrongfully accused, and I don't deserve this. This is the only mention that we see of him not complaining, but just explaining. See, you don't have to complain about your hardship, but you can tell somebody about it in a way that they will remember you when they get delivered. My time is gone. Glory to God. I'm trying to wrap this up, Brother Charles. I know we're going into our fellowship time. Give me just a little bit more time. Glory to God. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. And so here we are. He tells them that, and so the butler and the baker, the cupbearer and the baker, is brought out, and Pharaoh does exactly what Joseph interpreted that dream to be. He found out that the baker was the one that did whatever was wrong, and Pharaoh killed him. And the birds ate from his head. But the cupbearer was restored to squeezing Pharaoh's fresh grapes. I want y'all to know, to all of those that like to drink wine and different things like that, and this is what the Bible says. I'm just parking here just for a quick second. Just a quick second. I ain't going to park long. Just going to park for a moment. It says that a king that drank wine should never drink wine that moves in a cup. That coming from the King James. That moves in a cup is a dramatic expression, means fermentation. So kings should never be drunk with wine. Kings. They can drink wine, that's the fresh juice. Fresh juice. Fresh wine. Not fermented wine. But a wise king must not drink fermentation because it impairs his judgment. Now, it's in the Bible. I ain't going to tell you where it's at. I'm going to let y'all scholars and all those that think they know the Bible to find it. Amen. That's just my brief moment of parking right there. So let me get back in the lane. Amen. And so here it is. Joseph shows them favor, but he forgets him. 2 years goes by, and now Pharaoh has a dream. But I want you to notice one thing before we get to Pharaoh's dream, and that is that Joseph remains a person of character, good character. Joseph remains a person of hard work. Joseph remained the same thing he was doing at his father's house, he did in Pharaoh's house. He did in the captain of the guard's house, the dungeon. He continued to allow the gift that God gave him to bloom. Now, what was so amazing to me, Missionary Ken, is when the cupbearer heard that the king had a dream and nobody could answer or interpret it, he said, "Oh, king, I messed up. I forgot to tell you. I was supposed to tell you this a long time ago. My bad. I'm sorry. But one day, a couple years ago, you were mad at me and the baker, and you threw me and the baker in the dungeon, and the captain of the guard had a guy taking care of everything down there named Joseph. And one night, me and the baker had a dream, both of us, that disturbed us very much. And without us saying anything, he noticed something was different in me. And he came to me and he said, what's the problem? I said, well, I have a dream, blah, blah, blah. And he translated the dream for me. He told me the meaning of the dream. And after telling me the meaning of my dream, the baker jumped up and said, I have one too. Can you tell mine? And he told him his. And a couple of days later, you brought us out of that dungeon. And everything that he said, you did. And I'm here today because I didn't give up hope, because I knew truth was going to come out. Who made you sick? Now, don't say about the sick. that just by the addition. Okay. Amen. And so here it is. He called for Joseph. They cleaned him up. Joseph shaved, took a bath, put on some clean clothes. I'll say that again. Joseph had to go before the king. He took a bath, he shaved, and put on clean clothes. Joseph had to come before the king, an earthly king. And because he knew he was coming before the king, he took a bath. He washed himself. He changed his garments. And he shaved. He made himself look presentable in the presence of a king. I'm saying that to all those that think that you can just go to church any kind of way or go to worship. Because for many people, going to church is going to worship service. And going to worship service is going before the king. You cannot be presented to the king any kind of way. That's another message. And the king says to Joseph, I hear that you can interpret dreams. Now, although Joseph was working hard, I'm going to say this and I'm closing, he did not cover the anointing that God gave him. He said to the king, King, it's not me, it's the Lord. And the king began to talk and tell him what kind of dream he had. Joseph interpreted the dream and gave full instruction without negotiation on how to resolve the conflict and the issue. And the king says, I don't have nobody smart like that to appoint to that position. And he said to his court, people of power and authority, who among y'all had an idea like this? Nobody. So since none of y'all had this idea, and I sure didn't have it, we're going to appoint him. In fact, we're going to empower him over our whole nation. And the only thing that will separate him from me is I'm the one on the throne. And he took out his signet ring, which was the ring to write law, which was the ring to whatever he said, it was law. He didn't have to go to negotiate. He didn't have to, it wasn't a democracy. This is a monarchy. So he didn't have to meet with a bunch of folks and say, hey, what y'all think? Mm-mm. God gave him what to do, and he was able to implement what God gave him then. I'm going to stop here because this story has another part to it. Because the same brothers that sold him and gave him away, God allowed that famine to cause them to go to him and bow down. And when their father passed away, they were afraid that he was going to punish them for what they did. And it broke his heart. He said, I'm not God to judge you. What you meant for bad, God meant it for good. So it wasn't you that sent me down to Egypt. It was God that sent me to Egypt. I don't know what your circumstances is that you're in right now, but I want you to know that God allowed you to be in whatever state that you're in right now. He allowed it to be. Is it his perfect plan for you? Or is it his permissible will for you? You're going to have to go to God for yourself to get that answer. Whatever God allowed for you is only the ground to prove you, to reveal to you what he has put inside of you. Check this out for the nation. You may think of yourself insignificant, but what God has put in you is something to break generational curses. What God has put in you is something to cause your family to be blessed for the next 2 and 3 generations. What God has put in you is enough to show people that God do love and God do care. No longer should you sit, cry about where you are now. Just ask God to let you grow right where he has it. And when you have the right spirit, God know how to not only allow you to grow, but he know how to bring you up and out and put you above, so that you have the testimony that I am the head and not the tail, above only and not beneath. I'm blessed in the city. I'm blessed in the field. I'm blessed when I come. I'm blessed when I go. I am the righteousness of Christ Jesus, joint heir to the kingdom by Christ Jesus. God will put something in you that no weapon formed against you shall be able to prosper. I can do all things through Christ that strengthens me. I was saying to the Lord, he is my God and he is my refuge. Whom shall I fear? Woo, glory. When you begin to have that type of relationship with God, it'll change things for you. Glory to God. I said we're going to do communion. I'm so sorry. I know I'm over time. Glory to God. Amen. But this is the Lord's day, not his hour. So do you have your wine? Do you have your grape juice, your saltine cracker, a piece of bread? We do this communion. Holy communion is one of the 3 ordinances of the church. It is one of the things that has been ordained in the church along with water baptism and foot washing. These things that we do them to bring about a certain level of remembrance, to bring about a certain level of testimony and statement to our community and the world. And so when we have Holy Communion, we're joined together to remember the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. Again, Holy Communion represents the death, burial, and resurrection of who? Jesus Christ. The Bible tells us not to do this unworthy. Many think it's just talking about sin, but in that day and time, the communion was them breaking bread together. So he was saying, don't come just to eat and fellowship with one another and forget the reason why you're there. But when you come together, remember that you're coming because he did this the night that he was betrayed. This is what he did to the 12, and this is what he done for them and commanded them to tell us that we could do it in remembrance of him. So we want to remember, what did he do? Well, somebody might be saying, preacher, I don't know what he did. Can you help me there? I sure can. And so as you get your grape juice and you crack it out, I just want you to listen as I read this from the book of Matthew. The Bible says here that now the first day of the Feast of Unleavened Bread, the disciples came to Jesus, saying unto him, where would thou that we prepare for thee to eat the Passover? So the whole communion came by reason of the Passover. This is the season in which it was given. This is the early spring. Amen. So it's given for this reason. We're going to keep on reading. And he said, go into the city to such a man and say unto him, the master said, my time is at hand. I will keep the Passover at thy house with my disciples. And the disciples did as Jesus had appointed them, and they made ready the Passover. Now when the evening was come, he sat down with the 12. And as they did eat, he said, verily I say unto you, that one of you shall betray me. And they were exceedingly sorrowful, and began every one of them to say unto him, Lord, is it I? And he answered and said, he that dippeth his hand with me in the dish, the same shall betray me. The Son of Man goeth as it is written of him, but woe unto that man by whom the Son of Man is betrayed. It had been good for that man if he had not been born. Then Judas, which betrayed him, answered and said, Master, is it I? And he answered and said unto him, thou hast said. And as they was eating, Jesus took the bread, take your bread, lift it up. He blessed it, he broke it, and he gave it to the disciples. And he said, hey, eat, this is my body. So we eat the bread, we're eating of his flesh. We're eating of the body of Christ. Amen. And he took the cup, and he gave thanks, and he gave to them, saying, drink ye all of it. Drink what you have in your little cup. Glory to God. Amen. For this is the blood of the New Testament, that grape juice, which is to remind us, and this is why we don't do fermentation, because Christ's blood wasn't contaminated, but it was pure. There's no pure grape than the pure grape. Amen. That's my answer to you all that asks what's the difference. Amen. Amen. For this is the blood of the New Testament, which is shed for the many of remission of sin. But I say unto you, I will not drink forth henceforth of the fruit of the vine until that day, when I drink it new with you in my Father's kingdom. And when they had sung to him, they went out into the Mount of Olives. We don't know what song they sang, but here in America, especially in the African-American church, we sang this song. I know it was the blood. I know it was the blood. I know it was the blood for me. One day when I was lost, he died upon the cross, and I know it was the blood for me. Amen. He never said a mumbling word. He never said a mumbling word. He never said a mumbling word for me. One day when I was lost, he died upon the cross, and I knew it was the blood for me. Amen. I want to say thank you. I know it was the blood for me. It was his blood that saved me. He saved me, not me myself. Amen, somebody. He saved me. He delivered me. And so when we partake of the Holy Communion, we're remembering his death till he returns. Saints, he's coming back one day. He's coming back for a ready church. Will the church be ready when he returns? That's the question. Will the church be ready when he comes in? Will the church be ready? We need to be ready when he comes. Hey, love you with the love of Christ. Amen and amen. I'm opening up the mics now. Glory to God. Amen. Amen. All righty. And that is the end of our message. God bless you. God keep you. We love you with the love of Christ. We're into our fellowship time. Amen. Well, Charles, what do you think, man? How you doing today?
I'm great. I'm great. Thank you. Thank you. Amen.
All right. Make sure you tell Mama Sam that I said hello. And you did tell us now that Mama Santa, her birthday this month too, right?
No, her birthday was August 10th.
Oh, it was the 10th. Well, I missed Mama's birthday.
Yes.
2 days.
Yeah.
Her 4 days after my wife. 2 days after my brother. Okay, I got it. Okay. I ain't going to forget it next time, then.
Oh, we know.
I ain't going to forget it. Oh, that's what it is. The station birthday, the station anniversary is.
Yeah, the birthday
is
September 14th for the station. Alexa, what day is September 14th?
The 14th is on, I don't know.
Tuesday.
So it should be next Wednesday.
Next Tuesday.
No, next Tuesday. Next Tuesday.
Next Tuesday?
Yeah, next
okay, thank
Tuesday.
You. Alexa, thank
yeah,
you.
Yeah, next Tuesday. Amen.
Hmm.
What's your name again?
What do we have on? Alexa, thank you. Alexa, go to sleep.
Have a great day.
Oh, boy.
All
I
right.
want to say hello to everybody on the phone line. We thank you for joining us. Thank you, thank you. Do
Amen.
We have any new callers?
Amen. All right. We have
yeah, I guess they can't hear.
Yep. We're mixing. What's the name of the chat room? What's the name of the
Clubhouse?
Say again.
Come on, Clubhouse?
Clubhouse. Yeah. It'd be nice for us to tap them into the board. That'd be wonderful. Amen.
Okay.
Amen.
I would be able to, but unfortunately, I'm on the line with the application on it. So we'll have to do that
okay.
next Sunday.
Okay. I got you. Missionary Ken, now what was you saying, Lady Bonnet? About birthday?
Oh, where's Lady Bonnie with our recipe?
Wait a minute. Go ahead and ask her. You're loud and clear now.
Lady Bonnie. Yes, what is our recipe for today?
You supposed to have been doing recipes.
Recipes?
Yep. You supposed to be. You didn't give us our recipe for last Sunday.
Real food,
real recipe.
Oh yes,
she talking about tomorrow, man. She talking about tomorrow. She,
no, we talking about today. My son said to me, he's gonna make a new recipe of apple cinnamon roll. He's been making apple cinnamon roll.
Okay.
that. How do you make the apple cinnamon roll? No, no, you supposed to give us the recipe.
No, he's right here.
Yeah, but not, that was your job. She done bailed out on you, brother.
Wow.
Brother Charles, she done bailed out on you. She trying to pass it over to her son. I don't know what happened. I was looking forward to that. She's talking about doing some apple cinnamon rolls.
Apple cinnamon roll pie.
That's just apple pie.
That
matter of fact, I think they call that Dutch pie because the crust will be on top too.
Amen.
Yeah, man.
Well, right now we can do some waffles and chicken.
Chicken?
Waffles?
You ever had chicken?
Okay.
You ever had chicken and waffles?
Yeah, but that just seems so strange. Because I don't want to get syrup on my chicken.
You mean to tell me when you went to Popeyes, And them biscuits, them buttery biscuits that you put honey on, you ain't never put a little honey on your chicken?
No.
Man, that's pretty good, you know. Put a little, the honey part.
Why?
I don't know about syrup, but the honey, man. Ask Ken. Ken, have you ever had chickens and waffles?
No, not actually.
Man, what are y'all people missing up there? Maybe it's a southern thing and not a northern thing. It might be a southern thing then. It may not be a northern thing.
Chicken with waffles, that's just weird.
Is that shrimp and grease?
You put
shrimp and grease.
I told you, you don't have
Kenny
to do
likes,
the waffles.
Cornbread in a skillet. That's southern, too.
Okay, cornbread in a skillet. We do something in a skillet called hot water cornbread. And it's the cornbread made on the cast iron skillet. It's a wonderful thing. Yeah, when you make the batter up, you make the batter using hot water, and you put it on the skillet,
well,
man.
It fry up
similar to a pancake, but it's cornbread, and it is good.
And you make it on the stove top.
You make it on a cast iron stove. A cast iron pan. Now you can do it if you got a griddle top, you know, a flat top. You can do it on that, but
yeah.
You do those in your cast iron pans. That cast iron let that grease cook just right. It's even, and so when you drop them in there, it crisps it on the edges and the middle stays soft and moist.
Hmm.
Called hot water cornbread.
Hot cornbread.
Uh huh. Some of the old folks used to put crackling in it. That's the the crackling, like you have the skin, and they had that in there too. Yeah.
Hmm. Okay.
All right. Well, who remembers the scripture that Ruth started off with?
Yeah, they should remember the scripture because I did echo it in my message.
The answers do they know what oxtail is?
Oh.
About who?
No, she was saying, do y'all know what oxtails is? But we got to do our...
Oh, I love oxtails. I'm going to be making some oxtails this week.
Okay, so that was my
mom
doing her day. She doing some
oxtails. All right, tell mom and dad hello. Yeah, I'm making some braised oxtails this week.
She's going to make some real good stuff and meal today.
All right.
Oh yeah.
We're gonna let us move forward to the Bible challenge. Anybody remember the opening scripture reading from the opening? It is from the Book of Psalms. Amen. Psalms 24, verses 1-10.
Amen. All right. And he's got it. All right. So now for the bloodhound or the pepper traps. Ruthie, you got the one from last week?
Yes, sir. I'm ready.
Go ahead.
Go ahead.
Okay. For John the Baptist came neither eating bread nor drinking wine, and ye say he hath a devil.
Okay. Read that one more time for him, Ruthie.
For John the Baptist came neither eating bread nor drinking wine, and ye say he hath a devil.
Okay, anybody think they know where that's at?
Amen. I'm going to help y'all out. The preacher that talked about John was Luke. So go ahead and find it in Luke.
That's right.
All right. Y'all got to find it in Luke chapter 7. I ain't going to tell y'all the verse. Come on. It's an easy concordance. If you look up John the Baptist, it's going to be one of the few scriptures that pops up with his name on it. All right. Well, Ruthie, it's Luke chapter 7, verse 33.
Yep, you got it, buddy.
What it is, they got the pepper in their nose. They were thinking over there in Matthew or Mark. That's what their problem was. They got stuck.
Yeah. That's an easy concordance to look up. That's an easy one to look up. Any quotes about John the Baptist are easy to find from your concordance.
All right, Ruthie, give them the one that they got to look up this week.
Well, they'd actually know if they were listening to Wednesday night. But all the best of the oil and all the best of the wine and of the wheat, the first fruits of them which they shall offer unto the Lord, them have I given thee.
Okay, one more time, Ruthie.
All the best of the oil and all the best of the wine and of the wheat, the first fruits of them which they shall offer unto the Lord, them have I given thee.
All right. Now you got to sniff that out by next week.
Okay. Give me one more time, because at first I thought it was something else, but you threw me, so I got that fine pepper right there. So say it one more time, Ruthie.
All right. All the best of the oil and all the best of the wine and of the wheat, the first fruits of them which they shall offer unto the Lord, them have I given thee. Well, that sounds cool.
You got to find it. It's a search. You have to search for it. Yeah, I can't tell you where it's at. Yeah, the goal is to find where it's at.
And Pastor Bonnet, while they're thinking on that, like I said earlier in the show, I've got the joke for the day actually comes by a group called the Frantics, and I hope everybody will enjoy this track because it's going to be really funny, okay? You guys ready for it?
Come on with it.
Okay, here it comes.
As the executor of Mr. Muldoon's estate, I have been empowered to read Mr. Muldoon's last will and testament.
Well, I'll get on with it. The bar's open soon.
Oh, poor dear, where's
the
rat?
There, Jenny. God, how predictably boring.
I never work for a kinder man.
If we are all seated, I shall proceed with the reading.
I knew it.
I, Arthur Durham Muldoon, being of sound mind and body,
that's a laugh.
Do hereby divide up my considerable estate as follows. To my overly emotional sister, Jenny.
Jenny, darling, he's talking about us.
Oh.
Who grubbed with her husband, Hank, grubbed for everything they could get from me, and then cried crocodile tears when I needed sympathy.
What?
To Jenny, I leave a boot to the head.
Oh, what?
No. Jenny, are you okay?
And another boot to her windy husband, Hank. But still, you are my sister. You have both admired my Rolls Royce, and since I no longer need it...
Oh, dear Arthur, he's too kind.
I bequeath another boot to the head.
What?
And one more for the win.
Ow!
Next to my alcoholic brother...
Hey, I don't want no boot to the head.
To dear Edge, who has never worked a day in his drunken life...
I'm covering up my head.
My wine cellar and three crates of my finest whiskey.
Right.
And a boot to the head.
Oh!
And another Virginia in the wind.
Oh!
Next to my know-it-all nephew, Ralston.
This is so predictable.
I leave a boot to the head.
Oh, I knew it.
And one Virginia in the wind.
Oh! Oh!
This takes care of family obligations. And now to Mrs. Mulroy.
I don't want nothing.
Who took care of me faithfully these many, many years. Who cared, made me laugh, brought me tea.
Oh, I didn't mind.
To Mrs. Mulroy, I bequeath a boot to the head.
Oh.
And one for Jenny in the wind.
Oh!
And so to my cat Mittens, I leave my entire bath boot to the head. And finally to my lawyer, who has helped me on this will, I leave not a boot to the head, but a rabid Tasmanian devil to be placed in his trousers. Oh, and I leave my entire estate of $10 million to the people of Calgary so they can afford to move somewhere decent.
That's it?
That's great. There's one last thing for everyone.
Cover your heads, everybody.
Everyone a lifetime supply of ice cream.
Ice cream?
Ice cream.
Ice cream, that's all?
That's all.
Well, what flavor is it?
Good to that.
There you got it.
A boot to the head. Look, Ariel, but I heard it, and Charles, when you leave your will, we know that you're leaving yourself, but you might need to wear some boots, so.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Hey, everybody getting a boot to the head.
They get everybody a boot to the head. Even
yeah.
The one that took care
and
of
got,
well, at least he didn't discriminate.
And y'all have to drink coffee.
Oh, man, that's what I left my coffee. That's what I was making. Got to have
a coffee.
Yep, I'm going to get me a cup of coffee as I kick back and relax.
I really need to go do a yard, but I'm tired.
That can wait.
It
yard
don't
can wait.
Wait.
You don't know it's not done.
Yeah, even if it did, I'm going to give it a boot to the head. No, I mean, I'm going
to... Amen.
And next week, I'm going to let you ahead of schedule so everybody be ready for it. Next week, I'm going to talk about two small jobs.
All right. Two small jobs. That's all right. Boot to the head. I am tripping. But
I got a joke for you guys.
Oh,
you
got one
ready.
More? All right. All right, come on with it.
It's a short
one. All right, come on. Come on, come on.
Okay, when you're ready. Okay, eager to improve his sermon, a young pastor bought a tape recorder and recorded one of his Sunday morning services. After dinner, he put the cassette in the recorder, sat on the sofa, and listened to the kids. The opening prayer, scripture readings, and hymns came forth nicely. Then came the sermon. When he awoke sometime later, the choir was singing the closing hymn. I just thought you guys would like that one.
I got it. He put himself with me. I fully got it when you said
that is cute.
I got it real quick.
This comes from a guy's postbook called Bloopers from the Pulpit. It's got a bunch of jokes in it.
Yeah, I got that one super quick. You know, he went to he enjoyed the choir, and when he woke up, they were closing services out. So that means he put himself to sleep. That may help him with his next sermon. I tell you, what was shocking to me was the first time that I heard myself on recording. I was like, I didn't know it was me. I was like, man, that's a good message. And so they look at me, and I'm like, man, that's a good message. But I didn't know it was me because I thought I sounded different. So it took me a while to get used to my voice on recordings. So that allowed me to understand that I had E. And for me to do sound so good as I did is nothing but a blessing from the Lord, because that means I have a certain level of tone deafness. And so it took me some years to really work on just holding a right key without someone else giving the key. So that took a long time. But once I learned what my voice sounded like, now I know that my voice changes in the midst of my preaching. When I'm talking, my voice is one way, but as I get into the real flow of preaching, the tone of my voice actually changes some. I had a musician years ago, probably about, I want to say at least 10 years ago, if not more, share with me. He said, when you talk, you're in this key. And he said, when you begin to hum or sing a song, or when you get to your higher vocal, it's in this key. And so once he brought that out to me, that really allowed me to learn how to flow better when I'm talking, when I'm ministering, so that I will be in key. Because sometimes Spirit and Lord move you prior to your message, and there's a melody in your spirit. But how to bring everybody into that melody, you want to make sure you give them a key that they can follow, and so that you'll stay in that key so that the worship experience is accepted and enjoyable to those that's listening. So, man, I tell you, it's a blessing, though.
So, yeah, I go back and every now and then I go back and listen to my messages to make sure I didn't leave out a biblical point or that I didn't say something that wasn't biblical sound, and make sure that I gave illustrations so that people can learn. My brother and I, we used to dissect one another's messages because one of the focus points for us is that people will understand what is being preached. It's not important to me to try to prove I can use a few big words or talk and quote the scriptures. But what's important to me is that you have an understanding from whatever point that I'm teaching. And so that makes a real difference when you're ministering the truth that people are able to follow along with you. That's the purpose of, that's my purpose of listening to my own text, my own preaching. I really prefer to listen to other people. So, but we thank God for it. We're at the end of our program on today. Truly, it has been a blessing to be with each of you on this day. I have enjoyed you all. Thank you, Brother Charles, for this platform. And we always want to just continue to pray. Tell Mama Safford that we say hello, and we're praying continuous health. Amen.
I will. Tell your mother and father-in-law hello from the Six Eyes Radio Network. And you tell your mother hello. And we'll see you all on Tuesday. We'll be off tomorrow for Labor Day. So everybody kick back, relax, drink coffee, eat food, get stuffed, and relax. And we will see you Tuesday. Take care and enjoy the rest of your evening, afternoon, or night, wherever part of the world you're in. Thanks for joining us for the Six Eyes Gospel Show. God bless.
God bless.
God bless.